Good morning, everyone. It's your Commissioner Farrell Elliott, and I am coming in with you on a very, very cold and chilly Monday morning here in Louisville, Kentucky. But what warms my heart is the fact that we've got Monday Night Football. Now, this is your Monday KFFSC podcast, and the purpose of this podcast is to review in depth what we have still to come in our football week. This being week 7, we have one game remaining. It's the Chicago Bears at the Los Angeles Rams. We're going to dig into this game in depth that we can't afford during the week of all the other individual games, look into it, try to find you the correct fantasy players to make a move on. You'll hear a little noise in the background, and that's because I can announce that my favorite guy in the KFFSC has appeared. There's nobody that I'd rather talk about these things with than the original Cash Money brother, Mr. Sean Lick. How are you this Monday, Sean?
No, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm here, and I'm pretty excited about what we're looking at tonight. You know, this game, the more you look at it, the more interesting it gets. Our friends in the desert have installed the Rams as a 6-point favorite. They've remained there throughout the weekend. The Rams come into this game 4-2, and as you so aptly put, they are the NFC East champion because that's who they've blown through early. Just a quick review of what you see, just a quick sketch of what you see so far in the Rams this year, Sean.
Yeah, they seem to be very inconsistent. It's very hard to figure out what they're going to do from week to week. Sometimes it looks like they're going to just bludgeon you with a running game.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they get the passing game going. But it's been very difficult to pinpoint, you know, who's going to have a good game for them at what time.
Well,
I do think they've played pretty well this year, and I think their defense has played pretty well this year.
I think we've agreed that the team has now decided on at least their lead running back, and that would be Darrell Henderson. Now, what's been unique about this team is, especially when I got back from Las Vegas in the FFPC, there was great, great fire coming underneath Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee was shooting up the boards in a tight end premium league like the FFPC. That was very, very important. But it was also very important here in the KFFSC. Many of our drafters with their ties to Western Kentucky football, very, very familiar with Tyler Higbee. Now, Tyler Higbee in week 2, Sean, it was 3 touchdowns in week 2 for Tyler Higbee. He's gone soft in scoring since then and now is a little banged up, questionable for tonight. And based on his productivity, I don't think owners really waited for him to get in their lineups.
No, and Higbee's always been an interesting player for me. Seems like to me that the Rams, if Higbee has a big game, then Cooper Kupp usually does not.
Yep.
It seems to be one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with – it seems like to me, you know, all that production towards the end of the year that he got last year, Cooper Kupp disappeared.
Neither of those players have had big games lately. Let's take a look real quick, Sean, at what Los Angeles has done this season. We said they were the NFC champion of the East. And so maybe that they started the season 20-17 against Dallas. And I recall that as a real football game. Both teams played very well. They played Philadelphia, and I think they exposed some of Philadelphia's initial problems. That was close to what we had as a blowout, 37-19. Cooper Kupp's best performance of the year, I believe. At Buffalo, they lost at Buffalo. That game, the expectations of that game were about, well, it was 35-32 was the final, and I think we all saw some inconsistent play, but we assumed it was against a tough defense, so we forgave them for that. They came back with a 30-13 game, and then their second loss, 30-13 was against Washington Football Club. And then their second loss came at the hands of 49ers 24-16. The game did not look that close. For the LA Rams so far this season. And, you know, you talked about inconsistency. You talk about the running back we can rely on. We think it's Henderson. Now the receiving core. You mentioned Cooper Kupp's disappearance. Let's take a look at what our guys have in the desert for Cooper Kupp this week. It is, I am anticipating a bounce back game for Cooper Kupp. So his propositional bets, and these are for entertainment purposes only, Sean. Propositional on Cooper Kupp, 60.5 yards and 5.5 receptions. He'll be lining up against the Bears defense tonight. What do you think?
I mean, that seems like a pretty good number. It doesn't seem, you know, outlandish to me either way. I think the yard total might be a little bit high for me. If I had to go one way or the other, I would probably go over on the receptions. But I just don't – I have to see it to believe it with him right now.
Yes.
Actually, Robert Woods is the only guy you can actually count on in that game because I know they're going to let him run the ball. They'll get him involved one way or the other. I just don't know about Cooper Kupp.
Robert Woods, similar numbers in the passing aspect. 59.5, 5.5 receptions. Take your pick of Ram receiver that you think might put you into a fantasy scoring plus position. Now, you know, that's what we really want to do here is identify the guy. Let's say, Sean, that your opponent is finished, that he picked a very good lineup yesterday, that he had a couple outliers. Maybe he had the Kansas City Chiefs, which returned a pick six and a kickoff return to score multiple points in our league. Maybe he went out on the free agency wire, needed a kicker. All he could get was the Buffalo kicker Bass and then found six field goals. Second week in a row, we've had a kicker with six field goals. Maybe he ran into playing rookie quarterback Justin Herbert, and Herbert put up a 40-point performance against you. And let's say that you had a good week too, but you just need 15 points. We want to find that player that's going to give you those 15 points. And so far, it doesn't look like we've found him on the Rams side of the ball. So Henderson's rushes, rushing yards, 53.5 against the Chicago Bears. Las Vegas installs Henderson at 53.5, 2.5 catches by, you know, we're looking at a 10 or 12 point game there without a touchdown. One of these three players has to pop for the Rams to be successful tonight. Which one is most likely to do so? Now, I'm going to tell you before you answer that my money is on Kupp. I don't believe that – I don't want to bet against this player not moving out of this funk. I refuse to believe that he's going to have three bad games in a row, although in the last game against the Niners, Kupp looked like somebody had snatched his body and invaded it. You know, he did not look like anywhere near the player. He couldn't locate the ball, which was an embarrassing thing for a receiver of that. You know, maybe he lost it in the lights, the sun, whatever was shining. Not a good start from Kupp. What about you, Sean? What do you see?
To me, I'm going to go with Robert Woods. To me, he's the most reliable guy on that team. He always gets involved in the jet sweeps, even if he gets involved in the short bubble screen game. Plus, he's also just a really good slot receiver. I really like Robert Woods. I've always been a big fan of his, and seems like to me Goff distrusts him. And then he likes the other guys, but he'll go to whichever one's hot. He seems like he does force the ball to Woods, where he does not force it to the other guys.
Well, you know, with Woods' athleticism and his first step quicks, I think that's probably a good idea. The tight end position, we talked about Higbee. Gerald Everett backs up there. Everett is beginning to me to be a tight end number two, a backup tight end in a year when you've got to have them and there's not a whole lot of talent or a whole lot of point production out there. Gerald Everett looks to me as the kind of player that may be blooming and may come to have a very important second half of the season. Of course, that's exactly what Higbee did last year. Let's turn our eyes to the Chicago Bears team, and then we'll come back and talk about a fantasy starter that I think almost everyone will have on the field tonight. So the Chicago Bears, Sean, let's go right to the most interesting player here on the Chicago Bears. That would be tight end Jimmy Graham. Now, people still do not trust Jimmy Graham in fantasy ball. It's hard to see him in a lot of lineups. When I'm playing 10 teams this year, and when I go look at my opponents, many times they'll leave Jimmy Graham on the bench. They rostered him. They'll leave him on the bench. Jimmy Graham, so far this year, Sean, 22 catches, 4 touchdowns. Do the math, Sean. It projects out to a 2020 season of the maligned Chicago Bears tight end, Jimmy Graham, 69 catches, 12 touchdowns. Does he stay on that pace against the Rams?
It seems like it does. I think the problem people have with Graham not wanting to play him is just he doesn't have a lot of volume. Mm-hmm. But what he has been getting has been high quality. You know, when they have him in there, when they put him in the routes, they're throwing the ball to him, and especially in the red zone, they're throwing it to him. And like you said, at a position that people are having as much trouble with as tight ends, you know, you get 3 catches and a touchdown. It's a big week for some tight end people. You know, a lot of people would love to have that. So Graham's one of those guys. If you need 12 to 13 points, he's probably your guy.
12 to 13 points, and if he keeps scoring those touchdowns, even more. So, Sean, you play a lot of volume teams in the KFFSC and around the country, much more than I play. Did you have Jimmy Graham on any team?
Yes, because I had some tight end injuries uh-huh. earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
So, I did went and pick up Graham, and I had the choice between Jimmy Graham and Gerald Everett tonight, actually.
Uh-huh.
So that is an interesting play. And, you know, in that game, it's a pretty close game. So at this point, I think I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham.
You know,
the higher upside.
It proves our point. It absolutely proves our point. We're talking about a player, 22 catches and 4 touchdowns so far, was available to you on the waiver wire. A lot of people sleeping on Jimmy Graham. What an excellent position he's put some fantasy owners in. Now, you know, here's a player that I like, Sean. David Montgomery, running back. And I want you to tell me, should I like him tonight? The Chicago Bears, let's review some of their games. They beat the Lions 27-23. They beat the Giants 17-13. Not as big an accomplishment as you might think. They beat the Falcons by 4. They lost to the Colts 19-11. They frustrated the Bucs on Thursday Night Football, and I think if you play that game 10 times, the Bucs would win 9 of them. Surprisingly, they have a victory over the Panthers, which I think is their most impressive. It's their most impressive victory. But they beat the Falcons, the Giants, and the Lions, and those were close games. And those teams collectively are not doing very well in the league this year. So tonight, I think we learn if David Montgomery can carry the rock, and is he the real running back to move this team? Las Vegas has him. The prop number of 56.5 yards rushing, 24.5 yards receiving with 3.5 catches. I think they've got the rushing number correct as to what it is, but I think if you forced me to pick one, I would pick on the downside of 56.5. That's also considering the fact that we've lost an exciting player to watch and a frustrating player to roster in fantasy ball, Tariq Cohen. Montgomery, Sean, 56.5 yards, high, low, or just about right?
I think it's pretty close. I think they did a good job on that number. Yeah, he's not a back that's probably going to rush for 100 yards. And I do like the reception total to be over, though. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield. He's not Tariq Cohen, but he's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Cohen has moved out of the way, Sean, and Montgomery is a tougher player to tackle. You know, it's right. it's just that way. I talked about the fact that there's a Rams start that almost everyone will make tonight, and I think it's a very, very good start, especially when you look at the points that have been scored by the Bears throughout the season. The Rams defense currently ninth against the run. And if you take a look at some of the teams they played, we've already been over it. But when they played Dallas, everyone knows who that running back is. When they played Philly, Philly had Miles Sanders. Buffalo has Singletary and Moss both on the field. The Lions were still experimenting more with Peterson at that time. And we know about the 49ers, despite the fact that all their running backs seemed to get injured, they all seemed to perform very, very well. So they've run up the number nine rushing defense in the NFL, but they played some of the best running backs. They'll play another good running back in Montgomery. My prediction is that they keep him out of the end zone, keep him about right with those yards. Sean says more receptions. So if you are a David Montgomery starter, that's where you're going to get your points and your salvation. Can you get Montgomery up to 15 fantasy points?
No, I think it'll be tough. If he gets 5 catches for 30 yards, he's got a chance, but he's going to have to get a little more yardage out of those receptions. It's tough. This is going to be probably a grinded out type of game on offense for the Bears, I would say.
Wide receiver Robinson gets his start, and he'll get a start in every fantasy lineup. Yep. He'll look across the line of scrimmage and see that he has drawn Jalen Ramsey. Nick Foles, that quarterback, two veteran players like this, they naturally click together, and that doesn't bother me. Robinson installed at 72.5 receiving yards, 6.5 catches. I lean under yardage here, but as in Montgomery's case, over on those catches. Have I got it all wrong?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, it's tough to have a huge night against Jalen Ramsey. But I will say Robinson's one of those guys that he seems to make the tough catches. You know, he's not, if he's covered, you can still throw it to him and he'll still catch the ball. So
that's what Foles is very good at. Foles throws a very catchable ball right to the place that it needs to be shown, it needs to be thrown, and he puts a little touch on it. We watch old Fitz down at Miami. He'll throw the ball the old school proverbial threading the needle. He'll throw it into coverage, but man, you better have some good hands to bring it in. Foles has excellent placement, throws a very soft ball. Let's talk about Foles for a minute. I doubt if he'll make any fantasy lineups this year, but I tell you, he was a player that was scooped up in free agency. You can't find him available anywhere, Sean, for a backup quarterback.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because the Bears just don't have a high-powered, high-volume throwing offense, but you're right. I mean, this shows you. This year, I think, everybody's carrying at least 2 quarterbacks this year, if not more, because you just have to be prepared for a lot of different situations this year with games being postponed and moved around. The quarterbacks are more rostered this year.
It's true. You know, Sean, Foles is at 246 yards passing tonight, Goff at 245. So the boys in the desert expecting a low passing game. Foles comes in at 22.5 completions. We like Montgomery to catch some passes. We like Robinson to catch some passes. We've already talked about Jimmy Graham. Perhaps Anthony Miller gets some things going, especially if Graham can assist in clearing out the middle, and he can get in front and behind those linebackers. So Foles, 22.5 completions. What do you think about that number, Sean?
I think I would probably go slightly under that. I don't. It's just hard to. It's just hard to see this game turn into a shootout. I don't think one team will be behind so far where they're throwing the ball all the time. I do think it's difficult to run against both these teams, but still, you just don't see these teams getting behind and just completely abandoning the run game.
Can you see the Rams shooting out to a 30-point game here?
No, not against this defense. Not against this defense. Listen, I've tried to beat the Bears just about every week, and point spread wise and other ways, and I've not been very successful. The Bears somehow keep getting it done, so they've made me a believer in their defense. So I just don't see I don't see them getting way behind in this game.
So our 15-point player coming from the L.A. Rams as a wide receiver, Woods, that is Robert Woods, would be Sean's pick. And if you've got to push towards 15 points, David Montgomery might get them. And Jimmy Graham, if he can find the end zone, probably will. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and like you said, I wouldn't bet against one of the kickers having a big night either.
It is a kicking game. The Rams made changes in their game, and Chicago has incessantly, as Chris Collinsworth said the other night, he goes, what do you think if Chicago just would have signed Robbie Gould? They saw Robbie Gould lining up for San Francisco, and they wonder how many kickers Chicago has been through since they showed Robbie Gould the door.
Yeah,
very interesting thing. Sean, I wish you continued good luck. Let's review this again. We have the Los Angeles Rams installed as a 6-point favorite tonight. Which team are you picking, Sean?
You know, if I had to take the 6 points, I'm through fading the Bears. So the Bears have convinced me. So I would have to take the Bears in a low-scoring game. I think the Rams win the game, but the Bears cover.
The more I have read about this, and the more I've prompted for this show, or rather prepped for this show, it leads me to believe that the Rams have a wake-up game from what they saw last night. The bully of the Seattle Seahawks were defeated in the division.
Yeah.
It's a good chance for the Rams to step up, exert themselves, and move to 5-2. It's big game for both teams in the forward season. I'm going to say that the Rams will jump out to a double-digit win that actually appeared to be during the game, a closer game than that, but the Rams separated towards the end.
Okay.
I'm going to have to separate from Sean Ligon right now, but we will rejoin you Thursday as we get a jump on Thursday night's contest. You know, Sean, Falcons in Carolina – it's a completely different idea than what we're talking about here tonight. So get ready for Thursday as we get ready to talk about some points. And if you got that Rams defense, get them on the field. You might be very, very glad you did. Thank you, Sean. I'll see you on Thursday.
All right. See you later.
Mm-hmm.